for the continent, and for science as a whole. As DeVry sees it, reconceptualizing Africa as a land of scientific excellence, depends on what you think scientific excellence is. African laboratories may never sequence a genome in 24 hours. That playing field, Rotimi says, is not really ever going to be completely level. But excellence doesn't need to be restricted to technological savvy. What African researchers are far better at, DeVries says, is understanding patient needs and community needs. Ekwueme's breast cancer patients want to tell her about their lives and feel that she cares. Otherwise, they aren't comfortable participating in research. And many traditional African communities prioritize the group over the individual, which means a patient's community often needs to be consulted about, say, study participation. If I actually want to get the best from these patients, Ekwueme says, I need to be involved. Whether Rotimi succeeds in bringing about the change he seeks is uncertain. The program is now in its last funding cycle, and its scientists will need to start competing for grant money with the rest of the world. They also need government support, which so far has been in short supply. Rotimi has appealed to the World Bank for help, and a new office for handling grant applications for Africans is now operating out of Nairobi, Kenya. Researchers everywhere are at the mercy of government, but it's particularly challenging here. So far, country policymakers across sub-Saharan Africa have been reluctant to see the value of the work and agree to put more money towards science. Rotimi, who is now 61 and considers H3 Africa a lifetime achievement, is well aware that politics could sabotage the whole effort. Bad government, he says, is probably the number one risk factor for health in Africa. It is also posing a larger risk. A 2016 study examining whether genome research has become more inclusive of African DNA since 2009 found only a 3% increase. Of the 2,511 genome-wide association studies completed at that time, just 19% included minorities. It wasn't surprising, says study author S. Malia Fullerton, a bioethicist at the University of Washington, but it was rather shocking. The future of medicine depends on changing that history.